internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas, go out, get some talking started, get our own talking points going, get those conversations started, or maybe we just see where the gears turn within our head and see where that takes us. So last weekend I went to Vegas. It was not one of those ad hoc, just fly out of town weekends. No, this was planned well in advance, well before the shutdown, well before coronavirus was a thing, well before we were just here to flatten the curve for just 2 weeks, just that 2 week shutdown. This was supposed to be a bachelorette party for a couple good friends, go out, party, enjoy their night, celebrate them. But with this coronavirus thing, people dropped out of the party like flies. It went from a bachelorette party to more of an essential worker party. Those of us who have more or less been on the front lines this entire time, interacting with the public and the people, seeing what's been going on, paying attention to the numbers, and making our own assessment of what is really going on within the world. And it was actually a rather pleasant weekend, rather pleasant trip. One of the best trips I've actually had in a long time. Now, I remember flying back before 2001, before September 11th, the ease of which you could get onto a plane, minimal security checks, the chance of a not-so-full flight. And then after September 11th, we got these security checks, and every flight has to be packed because now somehow they're losing more money than ever, or more people are flying. I'm not entirely sure how that works out. And the security hasn't changed. That's not going away. We've all signed up and agreed to let that continue. But with the coronavirus, no one's traveling. And that's actually pleasant. Like, I figured, oh, I'm going to Vegas, Sin City. The airport and the plane are going to be packed and full. And just going to be Vegas. That's where everybody goes. That's not necessarily how it goes. My flight plan, reservation, changed twice. I ended up leaving town significantly later than I originally planned on. It is what it is. It didn't have anywhere specific I needed to be. So I can flow with the wind, go with the river. But I got to the airport, SeaTac International Airport, around 2 in the afternoon. And I like getting there early, walk around, take in the sights and the sounds, see what's going on in the airport. Every single time I go to the airport, I go there early. Even when I've got other trips in the past where I've got 3 to 4 hour layovers, walk the airport, explore, see what there is to see. But at 2 o'clock in the afternoon from my previous travels, and especially on a Friday and going to Vegas, the airport is packed and bustling. And you're just rubbing elbows with everybody. You're like a linebacker just trying to get down the main causeway just to get to your gate. It's all the way at the very end because you're at the other end of the airport. But on this trip, again, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can't stress that enough because it's so amazing to me. It was like I was leaving for a red eye, one of those 11:30 departures to arrive at 5:30 in the morning somewhere, the flights that few people want. For whatever reason, I enjoy sleeping on the plane. It's a place to relax. I'm not doing much anyway, so. But again, this 2 in the afternoon, the entire airport is empty. After I got there, I looked at my ticket, and it said arrive 75 minutes early as opposed to 2 hours early. A 45-minute reduction. And even at that, I think I could have gotten through security in just 30 minutes, I think is all it took. Granted, I was early, but something else to behold. All of the center seats on the 737 that I flew were empty. And so even though I bought my bargain ticket price to sit at the very back of the plane, having that center seat open, absolutely comfortable. But one of the requirements for flying nowadays is wearing a mask. And while a mask does not necessarily, in my opinion, seeing as I'm not a doctor, does not protect against spreading the coronavirus, it does prevent people who breathe out of their mouth more often than they believe they do from actually breathing all over everybody. So I give some credence to the mask, and especially on something like an airplane. Doesn't mean it's not going to get out there. But again, we're all working together. We're all doing our part on this. The air system within the airplanes, they were advertising it on the screen as I flew, said that there is fresh air every 2 minutes, and they've upgraded their HEPA air filter systems. So, and I've made it back healthy, safe, and sound. Makes me wonder why I get sick or had gotten sick every other time I've flown. I don't know. Maybe the masks do something. And when I was flying, I was expecting, or traveling, I should say, I was expecting to see people out there wearing their mask, or being overprotective, being paranoid, being worried that everyone out there is a vector of disease. Something that I interact with a handful of customers, is they think that I am the Antichrist or something like that, that I'm out there to ruin their lives. There's definitely people out here in the greater Seattle area who are on the paranoid side, and maybe they have health implications or health problems and that they need to worry about it. And I can't blame them for that. One person I saw in the SeaTac airport was fully hazmated out. They had a full anti-static suit on. They were wearing gloves, a mask, face shield, and they even had plastic covers over their feet. That's one of the things I thought I'd see more of, and yet I've only seen one person like that. And part of me wanted to say, you are absolutely crazy for dressing like that. But since it was only one person out of the entire weekend, out of my entire trip and travels through the airports to see only one person like that, I have to sit back and say, maybe they have a point to be dressing like that. Maybe they are some sort of scientist within some sort of biological field where they need to be absolutely clean and protected. Or maybe they do have that comorbid disorder that they have to be worried about. And so they take the precautions because they are required to travel because they are in some sort of essential field. And so, as crazy again as it looked, take a step back and say, you're okay to do that. Pretty much everyone else I saw and ran into were functioning, respecting adults. No one got into anybody's faces about health implications or wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. Talking to people within Vegas, business owners and some of the security guards, they've got $4,500 restrictions or potential fines for people violating the no mask order. Whereas again, in here in Washington, it's a $10,000 fine, which seems kind of backwards. But again, I guess if quantity of people within Vegas creates a bigger price tag, then maybe it makes more sense, adds up quicker. But all of the businesses were rightfully freaked out. Talking to one security guard who was taking people's temperatures as they walk in, Vegas was shut down for 3 months. Every single casino shut down. No business whatsoever. And they lost a significant amount of revenue within that time frame. And so everybody's out there not wanting to get shut down again, because granted, in the past, casinos get shut down. There's, I don't know, E. coli outbreaks within the restaurant, or there's a shooting, or whatever, a robbery. And so the casino is shut down for maybe a week, and then it's right back up and running full steam. But now we have restrictions. There are bars that don't shut serve food, so there's no drinking every quarter mile as you walk down the strip. But it doesn't mean you still can't get alcohol. One restaurant I went to, as we were all finishing our meal, they asked if we wanted a drink to go, and I completely forgot. It's like, oh yeah, we can do that here. There was one point where we're sitting at another dinner table. They limit the parties to six. We were finishing up. We were almost done. And there was another couple that walked by who knew another couple at the table and started saying hi. They were standing at the edge of the table. But as soon as that extra couple sat down, because we were already at six, and then we instantly bumped up to 8 for the final handful of minutes we were planning on being there. The manager ran up and said, no, you have to go now. And that's because Vegas patrols, they've got little secret police walking around making sure businesses and casinos are playing by the rules, making sure that they're not out there spreading the virus, spreading this thing. No one wants to get shut down again. They can't afford it. And this is my third trip to Vegas, this outlandishly fake and yet beautiful and exciting city, place where you can go there and indulge in all the seven deadly sins, or at least witness them, not required to. And it's not that I believe that there's never that many black people there, but there were a significant number of black people to white people ratio. I can't even describe to give numbers, but as I think back to previous trips, previous journeys to this place, and black people obviously go, good for them. Glad they're getting out. Glad they're spending money and enjoying themselves. But there were no white people there. And that was an astonishing thing to see. I haven't seen numbers of racial balance. Is that the term I'm looking for? The ratio of blacks to whites since being in the Southeast. Here in Washington State, within King County, where Seattle is, as of 2010, only 6% of the population is black. So it's not like we don't have black people here, but it's not a 1-to-1 as in the Southeast. Maybe a 2 or a 3-to-1 in Vegas this last weekend. And that's more or less not just to show that people aren't traveling. People aren't spending as much money because you know that, at least I know, from going to casinos and especially here in the Pacific Northwest, Asian people love the casinos. There's always more Asian people than there are white people here in the casinos up here. And now come to think about it, I don't think I saw a single Asian person down in Vegas. But it was an exciting time. It was a relaxing time. It was interesting to see everything. When you're out on the strip just walking, granted Vegas wants you to have, or the governor of Nevada wants everybody to be wearing a face mask at all times, especially outside. It was 120 degrees. Kiss my butt. I'm not wearing a face mask outside, and especially if I can socially distance and not talking face to face. When you walk into casinos, the governor has mandated that everybody be temperature tested through digital monitoring cameras. It's annoying. It's kind of creepy. I feel in some way it's a invasion of privacy, but yet at the same time, I've signed up to go to Vegas. And technically, I guess it is a pandemic, so play by the rules. But talking to one person who's watching all the numbers, the monitor, he says most people come in. They might be a little warm from outside, but by the time they approach him, the temperature's gone down far enough that they're okay. And if they are exceeding in temperature, they have them stand off to the side, fan off just a little bit, retake their temperature, and they're usually pretty good to go. Another guy I was talking to, they had a rather silly setup that even the guy standing there getting paid is like, it's a BS system. Just something there to make everybody feel good and fit the numbers, make everybody believe that they're doing okay. And it was a quick temperature scan of the wrist. Nothing digital there, but just, hey, oh, look, you're fine. Go ahead. So some of it's for show, just to get the numbers, just to be permitted to conduct business. Other part of it is to actually take care, make sure people are being okay. But 99% of the people, again, according to those handful of security guards I was talking to, are A-okay. And the 1% that aren't, usually it's just a matter of it's too hot from when they were walking around, stand aside, call it good. Maybe it is people are being responsible and not traveling when they are sick, understanding that. Even though I was talking to someone the other day who their coworker was claiming that they weren't getting sick and all of a sudden they came down with a sinus infection and still came to work. We're supposed to not go to work when we're sick. Before this, and now especially during this, because all of a sudden everything is blown out of proportion. Everything is exceptionally scary. I see Vegas as proof that we can open up, that we are all responsible adults. granted, not everybody follows the rules, but a lot of us will play by the rules. We'll make it happen. We will respect everybody's space, understand what's going on, and we can move along. We can open up society. I don't think we need to worry so much about the fines, but again, Vegas, Sin City, I don't think is a shining light of example of humanity, but it is a shining light of an example of what can be done with enough money, positively or negatively acquired. But a good enough time to expand and open up. People are willing to talk. People are willing to share ideas, communicate with everybody. And we're not here again to tell people specifically how to feel. We're not out here to forcibly change minds. We're only here to compare ideas, share ideas, be willing to look in new directions, understand where we can go and how we may evolve as individuals or maybe even so much as a group. But as for me, I'm just a podcaster. Some guy with a microphone. And that guy with a microphone, that's me. That's Billy Bones. B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You go to the website, billybones.com. You get in contact with me on either of those spots. You go to the website, you scroll all the way down. There's a link for email and Discord. Come in, join. Give me a conversation starter. Let me know what's going on. Say hello. Or at the website, billybones.com. Again, that's the number 3. Instead of the E, you go there. You can find links to past episodes. If you found this one worthwhile, or any of the previous ones, you go there, you grab one of those links, send it off to the friends or family. You let them know. You give them their talking points. Share the show. This is a value for value show. If you found value out of it, give the show a share. This episode or any of the previous ones. And if you found monetary value out of it, you're welcome to donate as well. Scroll all the way down at the website, click the value for value button, and it'll take you to PayPal. Chip in whatever you feel it's worth. But until next time, I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.